Well, good morning again to everyone. I want to, before we start in our message, just encourage everyone here. We have a visitor with us, Floyd Williamson from Conyers. Please greet him and tell him hello before he leaves today. We're thankful to have you with us to worship the Lord. Now, folks, as we get started in our message this morning, there's time we need to do a little recap, okay? Because we started out 2 weeks ago. Some of you weren't here, but we started into a grand old story of crossing the Jordan River. And then we had that message, and then we went to Rahab. Just half of the story of Rahab. And what a beautiful story that is, and a remarkable woman she was. I'm not going to try to re-preach any of those messages, but we need to recap to set the groundwork as we go forward. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. The first three is just to remind you what Rahab did, and this is not on the PowerPoint. But if you want to follow along in your Bibles, it's Joshua chapter 2. I'm just going to refresh with these passages, and then we'll go into some of our additional passages that will be on the PowerPoint. But as you know, Joshua sent out the spies into the land of Canaan, and they went in specifically into Jericho. And they went, and Rahab hid the spies. So starting in chapter 2, these are the scriptures. I'm just going to refresh your memory. She hid them on her roof under some flax stalks that she had. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard now how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord, your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Those were the words that Rahab shared and told to the Israeli spies. And then they had their encounter where she actually bargained with them because of the kindness that she had showed to them, that when they returned, that they would not destroy her and her family. So the Israeli spies and Rahab made a bargain. They had a promise that they made with each other. They made, you might say, a covenant. And that was sealed with a red scarlet cord that she bound in her window. In verse 21, and this will be on your PowerPoint, "Then she said, 'According to your words, so be it.' And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window." That's where we finished last Sunday. And I told you that we were going to come back to Rahab. But folks, there's a lot that occurs in between this point and where Rahab takes up next. And I felt very strongly led that we need to focus on that first. So yes, we're going to get back to Rahab, but that's going to be next week. Today we've got a little more recapping to do and things we need to focus on that are important. And folks, it applies to each and every one of you in your life. You need to always remember, yes, these happened thousands of years ago. These accounts that are written and recorded. But folks, they apply to us too. Immerse yourself into this story so that you can try to tangibly feel the things that are occurring and make it applicable to your life. Because your life is different from those sitting beside you, but we share a common thread, and that is our faith in God and the goodness of God that He appoints to all of His people. Now, a little more recapping. The previous week was the actual study that we did on crossing the Jordan River. And if you remember, I'm not going to preach that again, but we finished at one point when they had crossed over the Jordan River. So I'm going to read the summation of that again just to refresh your memories. We go into the other parts of our passages this morning. Joshua chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. "Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, 'Come up from the Jordan.'" And folks, just to stop right there, just to remind you that the priests were carrying the ark and the Jordan River was at flood stage. It seemed to be insurmountable. All of these hundreds of thousands, over a million people of the Israelites were needing to cross from the west, cross the Jordan River into Canaan on the east side of the Jordan River. And it was at flood stage, and it was swollen. It was a very fast torrent of water at that time. As soon as the priest stepped into the very edge of the water stopped flowing. God dried up the Jordan. Now verse 18, and it came to pass when the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. But now they were safely on the other side. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And these 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he had dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord God forever. And folks, that is an important passage. I would pray that you would memorize this, because I consider certain passages in the Bible to be memory verses that we need to refer to frequently. Let me read it again. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Forever. Now, folks, that's basically ending where we were 2 weeks ago, crossing the Jordan River. And one of the things I emphasized on that was the memory stones. Because we all have occurrences in our past where we can look back and remember when God miraculously did something for us in our life. Those accounts, they shape us. They strengthen our faith. And folks, you know people in your life where you saw these things happened. And those people are memory stones in a way. And now, because of the age of our congregation, we need to be the memory stones for the younger generation, that other people look back on and remember when so-and-so had great faith, though they went through torturous, tumultuous, sorrowful, hard times in their life, their faith never wavered. And folks, I regard some of you as memory stones. Some people that have passed away are memory stones for me. The great faith that this congregation has exhibited over the years are wonderful. Brother Clay was just a recent example of that, but I will tell you, me and you, we need to be memory stones for other people in our lives. And that means that our faith needs to be evident in the way that we live our life. Because as Brother Pat prayed, we need to be living differently than those who do not have God in their life. So I pray, think back and be a memory stone, because other people were to you. Now, folks, this brings us to, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story that we haven't gone to yet. Chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to read and we're going to back up and recap and try to clearly glean what's occurring here. Chapter 5, verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea. Okay, stop right there. I just want you to mentally grasp this, if you can picture in your mind a map of the Mideast. Because the Jordan River flows north to south. The promised land, Canaan, is on the east side. That's all of Israel. The west side was where the Israelites had been, and they had destroyed so many of the Canaanite, Amorite cities. And God is telling them that all of this land, and you hear this now sometimes on the news. You've heard it through some of the people that are protesting because of the Middle Eastern conflicts and stuff. And they use that term, from the river to the sea. Well, this is partly where this comes from, because from the Jordan River all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea, God had given this land, Israel, to the Israelites. And that's where they are. So I want you to remember, this land God has promised to Israel, every bit of it. And they are now on the east side, they are in Canaan. And so Joshua is writing here, when all these kings, both west of the Jordan and east of the Jordan, when they've all of these kings, now picking up in that sentence, when they heard, and that's an operative word, when they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their hearts melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. You see, folks, they were afraid. They heard what had been going on. They heard about this miracle. Why did the people hear? Because people were talking. People were telling of this miracle. They were telling others what had happened. And these kings were afraid. And no one attacked the Israelites. Now, you know, I'm going to say something that this is kind of paradoxical. When I'm not up here, I'm really not a very big talker. I get wore out with it pretty quick. But there's times when talking is necessary. And folks, it's necessary for us to be talking about God outside of these church walls. These people were so afraid because of what they heard that they didn't attack. They did not attack the Israelites as they invaded. Normally when there's an invasion, there's resistance. But they were afraid and they didn't do anything. And that's important because of what will come next. But I'm going to tell you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. And the fear of the Lord changes people's lives. It changes people's behavior. So I want to ask you, are you talking? Are you telling other people about the things that God has done for you in your life? Are you telling them about the reasons why perhaps they should be fearful if they know God but they've wandered away and are no longer living according to God's word? We need to be doing so because it changes people's lives. And you know what? It just might be a way for you to be a memory stone. Because those things that sometimes cause fear on us, we don't forget it. We remember it. And if you can be a godly influence about telling people of how that it is important that we fear God, then yes, you will be a memory stone to that person. Now let's continue reading. Verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. Now, we're going to skip down to verse 6 through 12, and it explains this. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord to whom the Lord swore. They did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped at Gilgal and kept Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after that they had eaten from the provisions of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate of the food of the land of Canaan that year. Now, folks, we see a lot right here in these passages, so I just want to make some observations. If you remember, God had made a covenant with his people Israel, and part of that covenant was that men were to be required to be circumcised. But when the generation that came out of Egypt disobeyed God and did not have faith to cross the Jordan River the first time, God punished them and they wandered for 40 years. When this disobedient generation had passed away, God was calling this generation that was faithful, that he just led across the Jordan River, to keep the covenant and keep those requirements. So they obeyed and they were circumcised. Now, a couple things here are important. I said I'd come back to this one statement. The fact that nobody attacked them provided the time that was needed for the men to heal. These weren't infants, these were grown men. So there was a healing time that was needed after the procedure. Under normal circumstances, the surrounding cities would have attacked the Israelites, the invaders. But nobody did because of why? Because their hearts melted, the text told us. They were afraid because of the miracle that had occurred. And it goes back to what I said just a moment ago, folks. Telling about the miraculous things that God has done in your life is incumbent upon us as God's children. Are we doing so? Had they not heard about these miracles, they would have been attacked. But they were afraid of what God had done. And that leads us to the next point. They were in the plains of Jericho on the east side of the river. This was a promised land at Gilgal. And they kept the Passover. You see, the law required that only men that had been circumcised could partake in the Passover meal. So that was the other reason why this was needed. And they were going to celebrate Passover for the first time in the promised land. And the text has told us that they ate from the produce from the land of Canaan for the very first time. They were in the land of milk and honey. And they had taken, I guess it would have been most likely corn, because they ate both manna and baked bread coming from that corn. The very next day, the manna from heaven stopped. You see, God had provided for them 40 years wandering in the land. Even though they had been disobedient, he had fed them for 40 years. But now they were in the promised land, and they no longer needed that provision from heaven that was required when they were in the wilderness. Now they were just beginning to partake of the promise that God had given to them of this promised land, a land overflowing of milk and honey. Folks, I want you to understand and think about it. Think about your life, but think about the summary that I tried to give of this story so far. We all have obstacles in our life. But there is no obstacle in our life that we cannot overcome when we are walking according to God's ways. Because God is faithful, and he fulfills his promise. He fed the Israelites for 40 years. He provided a way for them to come over the Jordan River. He dried it up to go into the land that he promised to the Israelites. He is faithful. And there is nothing that can stop God from delivering on his promises. But oftentimes, those promises are contingent upon our faith and our behavior. The disobedient Israelites wandered for 40 years because of lack of faith. And that generation died in the wilderness and was not allowed to receive the promised land because they had no faith. The priests that were faithful when they stepped out in the Jordan River, as soon as they acted in faith, and so it is true for us, when we act in faith, that's when we see God's miraculous power sometimes in a special way. But we have to step out in faith, and when they stepped out, the water of the Jordan River stopped flowing. And they crossed over into the promised land. One of the sweetest promises that we find in passages that is a memory verse for many people, a marker verse, you will, it's found in 2 Chronicles. Most of you have probably memorized this. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, folks, it takes faith. God will heal us. God will bless our land when we pray. And when you pray, folks, you have to have faith in what we're praying for. And then there's, again, contingent upon our behavior. There's repentance when we turn from our evil ways. God is faithful. He was faithful to the Israelites. And now he has brought them into the promised land. You know, it's not always easy. Sometimes we forget about those intricate parts that are necessary for God's blessings. Sometimes our faith are weak. That's why we need memory stones in our lives. That's why you need to be a memory stone to the younger generation, because there's times that they don't have the experience that you have and their faith will waver, and ours needs to be strong. But there are times, regardless of our age, when we just plain forget and we go wandering off and we're not walking in God's footsteps anymore. And we need to repent and come back to God's ways. Because God's promises never fail, and they are faithful. And I want to remind you, as we continue to go through this, what the promise was that God gave to Joshua. And think about yourself being in Joshua's shoes. I told you 2 weeks ago, perhaps you've forgotten, Joshua was at minimum 80 years old when all this responsibility was placed on him. He wasn't a young man anymore. And here he is leading these hundreds of thousands of people. What a responsibility. What faith that he had. But still, he was just a mortal man. But this was the promise that God gave to Joshua at the beginning of the chapter. And folks, he gives it to us too, as we have the circumstances in our lives and responsibilities that we are supposed to shoulder. Joshua chapter 1, I'm just going to read these verses quickly. But this is what he told to Joshua after Moses died and he was 80 years old. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, into the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Folks, that was the promise, that God himself would lead Joshua and the Israelites, that he had to be strong and be of good courage. You see, we see God's command and we see God's promises and we see obedience is required. Joshua did these things and they went into the promised land. But folks, we have to recognize, we have to be obedient in our lives. The more obedient we are, doesn't mean that we won't have difficult times. It wasn't easy to cross this Jordan River. The task that lay before Joshua wouldn't be easy. But we have the promise. And we need to be courageous, as God is telling Joshua, to be strong, be of good courage, because I am with you. I am with you. Now let's go back to chapter 5 and continue reading. Verses 13 through 15. Now for just a moment, I just remind you, because I know I've been jumping around a lot. The Israelites have crossed over the Jordan and all the kings are afraid of them and they have celebrated the Passover. And they're camped at this spot called Gilgal. And we don't know how much time has passed. But there was some time. And now let's read. "And it came to pass," and that's what it meant. Some time has passed. "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth in worship and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Folks, we need to make some observations. Sometimes it can be a little confusing, but It really shouldn't be. But there's a lot that just happened here. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. You see, we don't know exactly how much time passed. I'm going to say at least 40 days has gone by since they crossed the Jordan River. And we don't know exactly, but Joshua, from the way the text is written, may have been by himself. He was contemplating, what do I do next? He was by Jericho. You see, Jericho was approximately, by the map, 3 miles away from where they were camped at Gilgal. And Gilgal was 2 or 3 miles from the Jordan River. So he's gone somewhere close in proximity to Jericho. And again, the Bible doesn't say. I don't know if he was alone or not. But he seems to be in thought, wondering, what do I do next? How are we going to take this mighty fortress? You see, at this point, no instructions had been given. At least none that are written. How were they going to overtake Jericho? He was probably deep in thought when this happened. What do I do? What type of military strategy do I need to come up with? Perhaps those were his thoughts. We don't know. But he was thinking. And then it says, and it came to pass, reading verse 13 again, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? The way I glean this text, and when you read it from different translations, I think that Joshua was in thought, and then suddenly he saw the man. It's not like he saw him from a long ways away and then journeyed over to him. No, suddenly, the Bible here says, behold, he saw the man. And Joshua wasn't afraid. He went over to him and he asked him, are you for us or for our adversaries? The man was obviously a man of war. He had a sword drawn and it was in his hand. But yet Joshua wasn't afraid. And he went to him. And folks, that's important. He went up to him. And to summarize, are you with us? Are you against us? Are you for us or for them? That's what Joshua is asking. That's what was on his heart. He wanted to know. But then let's read verse 14 again. So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? You see, folks, you need to recognize this is worded a little bit funny, and I read it in probably 10 different translations and studied a couple of different other Bible historians and commentaries, and it all agrees. You see, Joshua approached him from a man's perspective. Are you for me? Are you for what I'm doing? Are you for my ways? Are you for their ways? And he says, no. You see, God's ways are different from our ways. And he says, I have come as the commander of the army of the Lord. He has come to do God's will. And it is God's will that he will do. And that's what he tells to Joshua. You see, Joshua may have forgotten what God told Moses, and what he told even Joshua earlier. In Deuteronomy 1:30, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. And then Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. God is going before the Israelites here and is going before Joshua. And this man says, I have come to do the will of the God, of the Lord. He's not for the men in any way. He is for God. It is God's will that is about to be done when they go into Jericho. And Joshua recognized them now. And he fell on the ground and he worshipped him. Because he was God. This man was Jesus Christ. the pre-incarnate Jesus. That's who the commander of the army was. And why do I know that? Because we find a very similar description in the book of Revelations. Revelations 19, 11 through 16. And John wrote these words, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had the name written that no one knew except him. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horse. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And folks, that is Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God, the commander of God's army, and it is he who will lead the Israelites in this upcoming battle as they go in to take Jericho. It is Jesus Christ who's going before Joshua, the commander of the army. You see, Jesus was in the presence of God, just like Moses was in the presence before the burning bush, because the same command is given to Joshua to take off your shoes because you are standing on a hallowed ground. And that's the same command that God gave to Moses. Joshua was in the presence of the Lord. And what did he say when he recognized him? And folks, I'm going to ask you, what do you say when your prayer life, when that moment floods over you, when you feel like that God has got you wrapped in his arms? How do you respond to him? What do you say to him? Joshua answered and asked, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" What does God say to you? Are you asking that question, "Dear Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you saying?" That's a question we must all ask. What, Lord, what will you have me do? Because we are God's servants. And God goes before us in life, just like he did Joshua. Are you asking that question? Lord, what will you have me do? You see, Joshua had momentarily forgotten, I think. It's so easy to do. We want to take things into our hands and say, "I'm in control." But Joshua wasn't in control. He was in control only through obedience to God. It was God who was in control. And now this commander of the army is telling Joshua, "I am going to do God's will, and I will be the one that will lead you against Jericho." You know, folks, we don't have our normal crowd here today. It's small. Pray for everybody who's not away. But what I'm about to say applies to us that are here, applies to everybody that we know, applies to everybody on earth. None of us are promised tomorrow, are we? None of us have that promise. But we were given today. And we know who gave us today. And if we live to see tomorrow, we know who it is that will give us tomorrow. It is the Lord. So no matter what we face, in the second part of this day, or what is would be we may approach tomorrow, if it's some natural obstacle to overcome like the Jordan River, or if it's some man-made barrier like a fortified fortress in Jericho, it is God who goes before us. And we need to remember that. And we need to ask, what does my Lord say to his servant? You see, we need to face whatever tomorrow brings with faith. Because without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith and without obedience to his word, we won't follow in his footsteps. We will wander away. But with faith and with obedience, God will lead us. And we can overcome anything. In Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, and we need to remember this. This is another what I call marker verse. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Folks, that is a promise given to all of God's children. So we need to go and do whatever the Lord commands us to do. We need to be asking that question, where will you lead me, Lord? What do you say to me? And folks, we need to go and do what the people were doing around Jericho at the time and tell others about the mighty hand of God. Psalms 96, 2 through 3 tells us, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. In verse 13. And folks, I feel that we are so remiss. Nobody does it anymore because we are afraid of the ridicule of a population of people that no longer trust or even believe in God. But we are supposed to be spreading this. In verse 13, for he is coming. David wrote these. These are from the Psalms. This isn't from the New Testament, but David knew it. We know it as God's children. For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and all the people with his truth. And folks, he's going to about to judge those wicked people in Jericho. But that's for next week. And again, as to quote Paul Harvey, that's the rest of this story. And it's an amazing story. And folks, it brings us back to Rahab. And that red rope of hope that I said we would come back to. Because all this time is passing by, we have to wonder what's going through Rahab's heart. Only, we can try to wonder. We'll get to that. Then she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. You see, she was hoping, and she was trusting in that covenant. We need to be hoping and trusting in the Word of God because that's a covenant that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, pray for our message next Sunday. I hope we can conclude this because we're going to actually look at Jericho and we're going to look back at Rahab and finish that wonderful story. But I want to encourage you as we've got conference, but after conference, as you go home, start thinking back about the wonderful things God has done to you, for you. Identify your memory stones, those events in your life where God has been so faithful. Or the people in your life that perhaps are not here. But you remember the faith that they showed in certain circumstances in their life. You take those examples. You be a memory stone equal or greater than those to encourage others. And use that encouragement, that faith, that strength to keep God's commandments, to walk in His footsteps as it's outlined here in the Bible, and have the faith to know that God will lead you through a pathway that may not be easy, but it will be for a purpose, and either for you or for another person, it will bring blessings. And praise God for that ability to have that blessing on either your life or in somebody else's. Because where God takes you, there will be prosperity, be it through faith or even physical prosperity as needed for both you or for others. May God add His blessing to these words is my prayer. Pray for our conference as we go into conference after we eat. And please pray for our message next Sunday.